eccentric, artist, poet, cellar master, and the jovial champion of surprise and joy in life. I take the road to Haut Cabrières in the Franschhoek Valley to explore the landscape of Achim von Arnhem. In samenwerking met Wineland Media, deel van die Winpro familie.
You haven't got a philosophy, you haven't got a direction.
Exactly, yeah. So what was your philosophy?
Well, it started with my mom. It's still True Marriage of Food and Wine, but actually what kicked me off was Hadrian, you know, the famous Roman emperor, who said, wine initiates us into the volcanic mysteries of the soil and its hidden mineral riches.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I was disciplined in the cellar by Carl Werner, who I had ran an apprenticeship in a European fashion. And then this Hadrian came along, and my career evolved, and I ended up in Boschendal, where Herman Hanekom was in charge of the vineyards, and I was in charge of the cellar. And we just met each other, and instead of just looking after the vineyards, we became colleagues, mates, and we realized that quality wine has an origin. You don't make wine. I get into so much trouble saying you don't make wine, you know, and because it is viticulture in vino veritas, this energy that. And culture is the ability to realize the full potential of a situation. So if you don't treat it really, you know, you're trying to bluff somebody.
Yeah.
It's like tasting wine. The true value of tasting wine is to share wine intimately with somebody who loves wine as much as you do. Otherwise, it's drinking wine and getting drunk or misusing it.
Yeah.
And the true marriage of food and wine, I emphasize or enjoy the aftertaste of a wine. If you look at a wine, you see its color, its evolution, it's giving its clarity. If it's brown, it's too matured. And then you smell the wine, and slowly these things. But if you just pick up a glass of wine, you're not halfway there. And so you share this wine, you look at it, you smell it, and the bouquet must be inviting. Enticing. If it doesn't entice you, you know, you don't want to go any further, then you taste the wine. But I love the aftertaste of a wine, which is a combination of the bouquet, the flavors. But if it doesn't linger on the palate, you can't enjoy wine with food, because the wine must linger on the palate long enough to be able to dance with the food, to complement each other.
That's gorgeous.
Be excited about it. I get excited about. The only thing I don't get excited about is looking myself in the mirror. I'm always horrified. But so wine has been all these elements of looking after wines in a disciplined manner that Carl Werner taught me. I went to Geisenheim, met Dani De Wet there. We had too much fun. I mean, I can't even tell you half the stories because you'll edit them.
You're more than welcome. You can tell the stories. I spoke to Dani, and he... Yeah, there was a morning where you were living in a lady's house, and she was also, I think she was also one of your lecturers, if I remember correctly.
She taught us about love.
Yes, I'm just going to say you woke up naked one morning. That's why I'm going to stop the story.
And,
it was very funny. What you slept in was you slept in a gown.
I said you
took the blue blood.
I slept in nothing.
And nothing.
And she said, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. So... it is that fun. Also, Donnie and I went to visit his uncle, who was an ambassador or consul in Portugal. And I'd met a girl called Esmeralda at a wine show. And she had a twitch in her eye, but I was convinced she was winking at me. And she had taken a favor to me. So in any case, when we went to visit his uncle, I thought, well, let's pop in and just say hello to Esmeralda. And I had no idea what welcome I would receive.
Yeah.
So I went up And the mother said, you must stay for lunch. Now, Donnie had driven us there with a friend of us from Kuno. And of course, always being hungry because we had no money at all. I said, yeah, that would be a great idea. Anyway, 2 hours late, Donnie and them were still waiting in the cars.
Oh, my word.
And they could. He said, we tried to drive off twice, but we said we couldn't. So our student days were so hectic and wonderful, and visited any wine festival. Or,
yeah.
And that's when I met Hildegard, who was just about to fall off the bench because everybody wanted to sit next to her sister, who was a wine princess or something. They've got part of their culture.
Yeah.
And she was going to fall over off the bench, and I said, don't worry, I'm here. And that's when it all started. 50 years later, we're still together.
Gorgeous. And it's amazing. I mean, she's a patron and a co-founder also of
the
farm.
She's worked in the vineyards.
Yeah,
I mean, she grew up and she was, you see, in Europe, there were four children, and she was the more academic one. The others went into apprenticeship like I went in, and ended up in, remained in the vineyards, and all, so the one brother ran a wine laboratory. So these things all happen. You can't try and get everybody to university, but everybody must be able to contribute to society. And I think this is the interesting part about my career, was how I got more and more involved, that Hammond's now running our vineyards here, and he loves the vineyards.
Yes.
He loves being in the vineyards. He's disciplined. And you have to be disciplined.
But I want to know, you honored me with a piece of artwork. What a massive honor. I can't wait to put it in the house.
You must send me where the picture.
I will definitely. Because
that's the ultimate thing for me to see that it's being enjoyed.
That's been placed.
Yeah.
But Achim, please tell me, you know, I think a lot of, and you're not just a winemaker, and we want to talk about...
You mustn't say winemaker.
I want to talk about the... all cellar masters are winemakers, but not all winemakers cellar masters, before we get to art.
Well, you know, winemaker is showing no respect to our culture. Culture is the ability to realize the full potential of a situation. And if you think you can make wine in a stainless steel tank and the latest destalker, you've made a mistake. Because like I did with Hammond, we looked at the vineyard and said, when are we going to pick it? What are we going to use this for? What's the range of wines? And it was like I painted a painting, like this one I gave you here as well. You know, Einstein said, art characterizes the irresistible urge of a true artist. It's an urge to paint something.
Yes.
And my paintings start off with this urge. And then as it evolves, it changes completely. That could have been a tree that developed into flowers, but as you go along.
Yeah.
And with wine, you've got the terroir, and you purchase the farm. That's the other thing about a winemaker, you pay him, and you've may have taken all the risk of buying the property, developing the cellar and all these things. And he comes along if he's wise, if he's a cellar master. And a cellar master is somebody who's been through an apprenticeship, had a lot of fun, enjoys what he's doing, and it remains part of this whole thing. A winemaker marches in and sees if he can get a medal on the show. I remember the first time when we started working in Bosnia, I got all the medals and trophies and everything like it, but I came straight from the cellar in my sort of jeans and things, and I didn't have time to change. The other guys were in ties, and I saw N.C. Kroner, and he said, Achim, how can you look like a Plaswerker? You look like a farm worker. He said, but N.C., I am a farm worker.
Yeah.
And we laughed about
yes.
it. But that was, you know, that was the energy that we had. We just wanted to try and improve the wines of South Africa. Carl Werner had done it with culture yeast, cold fermentation. He was brilliant. He could test 20 wines and arrange them on. He pushed wines, the glass away that he didn't like and pulled the glass.
Yeah.
So after just a second, and he never tasted without analysis, he could look down there and he saw which wines he preferred.
Yes. Yeah.
And the wines he preferred, he used for his dryer blends. The wines that he didn't like, he used for the more semi-sweet, because wine is a triangle. The vertical is the acidity. The base is the extract alcohol, and the extract alcohol, and there's another one. Anyway,
the
I can't think of it.
The fourth base, yeah.
But it's a triangle. So if you pick your grapes too early, it's thin and sharp.
Yeah.
If you pick them too late, it's flat.
Yes.
Now, what you want is an exciting bouquet. Then you want to have this fruit flavor and joy. And then you've got to have the length of flavor at the end,
yes,
so
yeah.
that you could enjoy it with
yes.
food.
Achim, so you studied at Geisenheim. You started as a cellar master at Boschendal in 1970.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about your road
Boschendal. I started at Columbus
yes.
trying to sell equipment. And the sales soon realized yes. I couldn't sell anything, let alone ice to the Eskimos. I was useless. Then I went to distillers and
yes.
learned from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Then Boschendal and then Cabrera.
In 1970, you started at Boschendal, if I remember.
Yeah.
But the Blanc de Noir, please tell us about that and your decision to follow that road with Blanc de Noir. Yeah. I know you worked with a Frenchman.
Yeah.
And from there, that was an important moment in South African wine history.
Yeah. You know, Blanc de Noir, first of all, being an artist or whatever I'm supposed to be, we looked at what were the grapes that Hermann had on the farm. What could we use? When should we pick them? And we actually, not only where great wines were grown, the other important thing that we learned from Hadrian, sun, soil, vine, man. Those are the elements. If you think you can make wine, you're mistaken.
Yes.
If it's just the soil, it's the synergy of sun, soil, vine, man. So Hermann had Shiraz, he had Pinotage, he had all these various cultivars which had to be picked at an ultimate ripeness. The ultimate ripeness of vines that are grown on a sandy soil, you can't go and get them up to 22 Balling. You must pick them at a lower sugar where the ripeness of the acidity and everything is in balance.
Yes.
So we looked at these grapes, and as I said, we had all the possible grapes in the world. And we said, if we picked that Shiraz and that Pinotage or this Cab, we must pick it early. Not we want to, we must pick it early to produce an elegant wine. So elegance for me is very important. Mm. So we picked them at that, and we were even looking at producing a rosé, but in fermentation, it sort of moved in a direction where you didn't want to fermented out completely. RS is the other part of the triangle, sorry. It's
yeah.
the RS, the alcohol and the acidity. That, as I said, it changes it. So, okay, so we got, this wine was in fermentation. It had an enormous amount of bouquet and fruit at a lower alcohol. Now, we looked at this whole industry, and people had names like Lieberstein, Tassenberger, but you know, the wine industry was actually started by the Dutch East India Company noticing that the Portuguese and Spanish sailors got less scurvy than their own. So Jan van Riebeeck produced the first wine. But when the French Huguenots had to flee France, They said, here's an opportunity to use these vignerons, grant them property, because the Dutch don't give anything away unless they can benefit from it. So these Huguenot vintners came and were given land in Franschhoek. And they always named the properties, this is very interesting, yeah, after where they came from. Okay. It was like their tracing device, because if they caused nonsense, then up Pierre Jourdan will send it back to France, into Cabrières. And so the wine industry started to combat scurvy, and then it became something that became what it is today. So that was the beginning of the whole business, and we learned along the way. And but Hammond and I formulated this, where great wines are grown. They're not made, they're grown. And then if they're treated with respect in the cellar, then you can achieve products like Blanc de Noir. Yes. It was brand new.
Yes.
There were not, there were sherries, ports, and things like that. They started to produce drinkable white wines. I was involved with Flottenburg, now with Montpellier, there was Tuilly-en-Gazelle. It was all forming and it was exceptionally exciting.
Yeah.
But Blanc de Noir came from picking those grapes at the right sugar, and we produced this Blanc de Noir. It was an alcohol of about 12 and a half lume percent. It had just a blush of color, close to a rosé, but enormous amount of fruit. And we used the French names like Cabrières, like Blanc de Noir, and Le Bouquet, and but it was having fun, you know, I mean,
yes.
I can't speak French to save my life, but I'm a great strategist and I take every opportunity. So we came across this word, Blanc de Noir, which hit the market. They just didn't know where it came from.
You might not be, as you say, a good salesman, but you understand marketing.
I'm
That's
very
one
naughty.
Of the things you're very good at.
I'm very naughty.
Okay. But it's, but Donnie just said, you know, you understand how to market something. So I think that's, as you say, you saw what the market, you know, would respond
needed.
To. Yeah, needed, yeah.
Then, and you know, the thing with Donnie now, and we have a very close relationship. He's actually part of the same Verbindung, same sort of club
bond,
or whatever
bond.
In Germany.
He told me about this. It's actually a farmer's bond,
yeah,
to a certain extent, but it was still when Germany existed of different states. Yes, yeah.
And I went to his farm and he said, you know, he was one of the first few farmers that broke through and produced Chardonnay or planted Chardonnay. And he had all this Chardonnay, was going to call it the Wetzel Chardonnay. I said, Donnie, you know, the great vineyards of Europe, over Amblerhütte or the Latache, became famous because they were specific soils and they just were always a continuity of quality. And then it's supply and demand. You keep them in small batches. Like he's got a wine called Limestone Chardonnay.
Yes.
It is such a beautiful word, you know,
yeah,
a name.
Yes.
So and then he had Batillon and
Batelier.
Yeah, Batelier. Yeah. These were all these beginning stages as pioneers with no money. We had so much fun, it was frightening.
Yes.
And so I started the Blanc de Noir. We started to use the French names, but always out of respect.
Yes.
And Cabrières, where we specialize in Cap Classique, it started off as MCC, but now it's beautiful that the Society of Vignerons now call it Cap Classique, which is the re-fermentation of the wine. I don't have to tell you all this, but and Chardonnay style distinguishes the famous champagne houses of France. Chardonnay and Pinot Noir contribute to the style. Chardonnay, elegance; Pinot Noir, intensity and richness. How long do you keep it on the yeast? And the famous breakthrough, there are two of them. Come quickly, I'm tasting the stars, said Dom Perignon when he tasted. Now, Isn't that beautiful? I mean, tasting you look at the stars in the sky, and we've not landed there. I don't think we should. It's just the bewilderment, the beauty of, you know, life is a big surprise. And if you don't accept that, you don't have any surprises. So, and I was going to call, I still got it in my mind, Cabrier Brut. And then I met the guy that sold me my Deux-Vaux, which is a little French car, which was similar to the German Volkswagen.
Yes.
And he said, who was this property granted to? I said, Pierre Jourdan. He said, fuck, this is the most wonderful name you could ever, might have to have it. But it was such an exciting thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So we, Pierre Jourdan, you know, and...
It was the first then blend, if I can use that, or base for MCC, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay
Pinot Noir.
In South Africa, Chardonnay Pinot Noir. France Milan, as we know,
was the first. And the beautiful story about France Milan, I was presenting the wines at a tasting, and I was talking about mousse, which is the French term for the bubbles that are created in this fermentation. And I can't, Hildegard can tell the story, but he said, Madus mousse lekker, you know. Now, like come quickly, it is a surprise, there's joy about this.
Yeah.
You know, if you can pump wine around, the analysis must be there to guide you. You know? Like Takuan on our state, who's running the thing, he's one thing he has listened to me about is the alcohols must can go up to 14, 15, because you might well win a trophy. But Carl Werner told me, if the guy doesn't order a second bottle of your wine, you're not going to be able to. So we try and keep our wines, white wines, at about 12, 12 and a half.
Yeah.
The Tranquille, which is a still champagne, at about 10 and a half, 11.
I've had so many bottles of that Tranquille in my life.
Let's not go there.
because it's a lighter wine, you sometimes are looking for something that's slightly lighter, you know, whether it's...
Lighter is not a
but that
elegant.
Incorrect term, okay. But less alcohol content, rather put it that way.
Do you know where that came from? We've had students for the last 20 years. They all stayed with us. Like Carol Bourgeau helped us with the first Pinot Noir, and she said, Achim, this Pinot Noir is a red white wine. Don't get tannin and keep it fruity, elegant with the length of
the unwooded. Unwooded
came from somebody else.
Okay.
But the thing about the Tranquille, Frank Zenner, who is larger than life, and he loved eating. So after being with us for a week, he said, Achim, I like the South Africans. I love the food. And, you know, he was eating more than he should have been. Then he said, but one thing, I haven't found a wine that I can enjoy with my breakfast. I have never laughed so much. So I said, well, Frank, what do you do about this? He said, well, in the Champagne, we have a wine called Champagne Tranquille, which means the base wine that hasn't fermented for the second time in the bottle.
Yes.
So, well, Frankie boy, and he'd broken his knee, you know what you're going to do? You are going to sit at the press, and you're going to produce us some Tranquille.
Wonderful.
Now, like the Blanc de Noir on Boschendal,
yes,
we had this guy who'd eat a whole Camembert cheese on his own if you gave him half the child. He was looking for a wine to have with his breakfast. And we produced a wine, Blanc de Noir was about 12, 12 and a half, but this was 10 and a half to 11, because that's what you have to pick your champagne grapes at.
Yes.
So we produced this Tranquille, and it's such a lovely word.
Yes.
If you're nervous and you're in a rush, you have a glass of Tranquille, and everything starts becoming, you get tranquilized.
Yes,
Not hypnotized.
Calm.
Calm. So, you know, if you want to call it career, also with my art is always this element of surprise.
Yes.
Surprise, and you can't organize as a surprise.
Yes.
I've enjoyed Zen, and it's the now,
yes,
the awareness. I have done karate for the last 50 years, and the real teacher of mine, I have two, is Baki Slobsha and Sensei Shinin. He was so aware through his training. Mm. And karate is a practicing thing over till it becomes a reaction. If
yes,
you have to think, now I'm going to block,
yes,
it's too late.
Yeah.
He can look at you and he actually knows what you're going to do.
Yes.
And Hildegard prepared fish for these boys once. And this is a beautiful story. So when you entertain, there's always one piece left. This Sensei Shinin was sitting next to her, and she looked at the big South Africans, bulky guys, and telling you who they were and all that. And little Shinin tends to be a little bit on the quiet side. So Hildegard thought, I don't have to offer this last piece of fish to this Jap yet, because he's small, he's had enough to eat.
Yeah.
And he looked her straight in the eyes and said, I'll have that last piece of fish.
Nice. The surprise of the person.
It's a surprise.
Yes. So when last have you been surprised? Are you still surprised? Because you connotated to life and living, having surprise in your life.
Well, I'm surprised I gave you this painting. And actually, your response, sweetheart, is surprise.
Yes,
you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You're not, I'll see if I can hang it up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
You were pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
So that's the last surprise.
I don't actually know how to respond. So I'm going to take a picture.
Hang it up.
But yeah, it's real. What an honor.
Yeah.
But
honor is going a little bit different.
It is an honor. It's an honor.
Yeah.
But if we talk about, we're talking a little bit more about career and the things that people connotate to you that in a way defines you. And then I want to talk a little bit about your German heritage still as well,
yeah,
if you don't mind. But not the last thing, but one of the most important things that also come to mind is your Pinot Noir Chardonnay
yeah,
Pinot Noir wine.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not the trunk, but it feels like it's a bit similar, but I've had many of those too.
So it's frightening.
It is, yeah, it's so drinkable. It's just a lovely, lovely wine. I mean, you look at this farm and you look at a day like today, a little bit windy, but open and just a gorgeous day, and you just want to sit and appreciate that kind of wine on a day like today with summer ahead of us. Mm. So why that blend?
You see, it's interesting. On Barschendal, we had vineyards were very suitable to produce Blanc de Noir. It was predominantly Pinot Noir, Shiraz, Pinotons, we picked these grapes very selectively of the soils that were suitable for a very fruity but low alcohol wine,
yes,
but at 12 and a half. On the Cabrera, we were the first estate to concentrate on Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. That's all we have on the farm, and
yes,
we did that specifically for. I looked at the market, and the only place where we could afford to go to Cap Savoncle. France Milan, then we did it at Barschendal. We also produced the first Barschendal Cap Savoncle.
Okay.
And then I had to find a farm that I worked close enough to from Barschendal, because of being very naughty, I had my day in Barschendal, I had to go and do something on my own.
Yes.
Is that with Cap Savoncle, we could actually make a living out of it. So we had Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And the first vintage, I think it was 1994, which was the best vintage we've had with Pinot Noir, our grapes on the farm ripened to produce a wine of 12.5 or so, a volume percent alcohol. And you have to produce a base wine for Cap Savoncle at 10.5, maximum 11 volume percent alcohol, because the wine ferments for the second time in the bottle. and creates 1.5% alcohol.
Yes.
So if you've got a wine 12 and it ferments in the bottle, it gets 13.5.
Yes.
Now, let's have a gin and tonic rather, or something like that, but it just doesn't work.
Okay.
Because the bubbles bring the alcohol out and it's just not there. So I was sitting with this crop, no money, and we had to do something with it. And there was a lady in Kloof Neck who had a restaurant, but connected to a cookery school connected to a restaurant. And she was daring enough, she didn't know me, that was, she said, anybody that can produce a wine or present a wine that can match or pair off with my bouillabaisse,
yes,
I'll stand the lunch, you bring the wine.
Nice.
Now, from the tanks, I took this wine at 12.5% alcohol, and I blended in the bottle basically. And I think, who was the guy? Well, there was Giles Webb, Alan Mullins, and various. We were a colleague of gangsters. We took this case along, not quite knowing what was going to happen. There was a surprise await for it. And we drank that case of wine. She loved the wine. It went with the bouillabaisse. And it just took off, the yeah. Chardonnay Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
And, we also just called it Chardonnay Pinot Noir because it sounded so good. So
yes,
it was Cabrier or Haute Cabrier Chardonnay Pinot Noir. Like Blanc de Noir,
yes,
it worked.
Yes. Also, a fruit, there's
enormous
lot of
amount
yeah.
of fruit. Now, Blanc de Noir was more red wine driven than white wine. Here, the volumes on the farm were more Chardonnay than Pinot Noir. So this Chardonnay and the Pinot Noir worked out beautifully. And it sometimes it's got a little bit of a blush sometimes, but we're just enjoying now the 2020 Chardonnay Pinot Noir.
Yes.
And Takuan has picked this up. And he knows it mustn't be 13, it's 12.5.
Yes.
It's got a lovely fruit, not that we work on analysis, but it's not bone dry.
Yes.
It must be there for people to enjoy.
To enjoy, yes.
It goes with just about anything except
yeah.
a steak or something like that where you want a red
yeah.
one. But Blanc de Noir just took off.
Yes.
And it started with us having to produce
yes.
Herman on Boschendal, we had to use the grapes he
yes.
had, and
yep.
it worked. But if you say, I'm going to make, you know,
doesn't
or I'm
like
going to paint.
It has to flow from.
It must, an undesirable, irresistible urge. And how this enormous physics genius, Einstein, could go something and say that I believe in totally.
Yeah.
Is the irresistible urge, the creative art,
yeah.
not the guy. I don't like this modern art where they've cut a piece of canvas and some arsehole has actually taken and said, this is something special.
Yes.
Because it couldn't have happened to them. It
yeah.
wasn't, unless they like cutting canvas, which I don't
it wasn't
think
an, it wasn't a need. And
it wasn't an urge.
An
it
urge,
was,
yeah.
what can I do to look for attention?
Yes.
I promise you, none of my paintings, if you look in the calendar, this is our little Zoe, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that changed, and I love giving girls necklaces.
So
and they,
why did you choose wine making, and I know that's the wrong term, but the wine industry, and not art, for example? So where was that choice made? Because you are obviously, it feels like you're more an artist than you are a cellar master.
Sweetheart, I can show you a book on the art that I did in sub A and sub B. How this book has survived, I don't know.
Yes.
But my mother was an artist, and she was an unbelievably powerful woman. She used to be on the farm. She used to do iBooks, which were a disaster. There were a pile of invoices there. She used to present our wine. She should help label and bottle. She was dynamic, and she came from a brewing family. They actually had their own breweries at the end of Long Street, and I went to Newcastle breweries in Newlands who have got the most, the hugest underground lake that, you know, yeah. in the world. Or, but I went there and I wanted to be an apprentice in the brewing like my mother. They were fifth generation, born in South Africa, always one German parent, one South Africa, just by coincidence.
Yes.
And then they didn't, they weren't interested in apprentices because they didn't have this European heritage. Whereas, and then my mother, who worked in Silverwood Kitchen, met Karl Werner. And Karl Werner literally revolutionized the, and he was very, he was very sensitive to sun, soil, vine, man. The grapes were picked warm, they arrived warm, the acidity was low, and they ended up with sherries, ports, and all that. But he made the breakthrough of not looking at oxidation, keeping control of SO2. And I was very fortunate in my whole career to have that knowledge.
Yes.
He was a difficult guy. He ended up in California, and he, there's a huge monument, nearly like the Arc de Triomphe, yeah. of him, because that's what he did for California. But then she, my mother, painted on tiles. She
also she was, artistic then.
She was an artist in her way, and she did table decoration. She produced snails, which she smuggled in from Europe, and people wouldn't eat them. I don't think she did frogs.
I would love to taste some of those. love yeah. escargot.
But so she was an artist, and I must have, you know, you. Yeah. It's I've got the wonderful saying, which is naughty. It says, "It's all in the genes until you take them off."
Nice one, very nice one. But it's definitely something to do with genes, but also the environment in which you grow up in. Yeah. Surely,
yeah.
I mean, your mother. Practice that art around you. Also, I hear you've written two books on poetry.
Yeah,
so
I actually wondered, and I'll give you a book of my. It's a book called Naked, and there are a few naked girls in it. But the actuality was that I love the truth. I love reality of things because I find it so much more exciting than to go and twaddle off. This is Shakespeare. Shakespeare's a great guy. I mean. I love listening to him, you know, and I love Fawlty Towers. I like
English culture, literature.
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson, I mean, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
John Cleese.
My father, he was from a military family.
Yes.
Now, he had
quite strict.
Enormously strict, yeah. But a lot of fun.
Okay.
He lost 1/3 of his nose. With a hammer, at the age of 17, he was sent to the Russian front, and a hand grenade took his nose off. And
sure.
he was always photographed for this side. He was a bit on the vain side.
Yeah.
And you know, children always poke in their nose. So he said, "Don't do that because I would have lost my fingers." That's humor.
Yes.
That you're not trying to be funny. It's
yeah.
just part of this reality.
You also lost him at a young age. He died.
Yeah,
quite young.
I was sent off to boarding school, and basically in the week I went up to this boarding school that he died in hospital of stomach ulcers, which today they would have given him antibiotics or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, he actually died of something else. So it was quite a knock in, and with the German background, I mean, my life is, I've been very lucky, but also humorous. I mean, I inherited a pair of jack boots from my uncle who had walked back from Athens to Hamburg. And I had leather pants, you know, the Germans wear leather pants and, you know, they just get older and more greasy and shiny as you go along. And I was surprised that the English didn't really appreciate it.
No.
And I hadn't heard of nuns and Nazis and all the atrocities that the Germans had got through under this maniac. Mm. But I always believe that somebody is earning big bucks out of it. They say we declare war, but there must have been 2 years before that war was declared.
Yes.
Whether it was Hitler or Churchill or Roosevelt, they made a packet out of war. Yeah. And then the soldiers are given medals and cups and bands and bugles and all that. But you can't bullshit me because I love reality.
Yeah, yeah. Achim, we're sitting on Haut Cabrier. We're here in the tasting area and the restaurant's starting to bustle. They're getting ready for the lunch ahead. And you must, I don't know, maybe you get used to it, but you must stand on this farm and look at this beautiful view and think of everything that this farm has produced. And you guys are in the top 100 wineries in the world. You were selected on that list again.
And it's not my good looks.
Not your good looks. But do you stand and just sometimes think, wow, and you're amazed at what the farm was able to deliver?
It's a surprise. Now, this underground cellar was a quarry. And we bought the land below the road and above the road because this quarry had turned into a rubbish dump. And the municipality in Franschhoek at the time, it was an embarrassment for them.
Okay.
And then I looked at this.
The other side of the river, yeah. As I understand you.
And I looked at this quarry and I said, you know, the Europeans build their cellars underground to protect the wines against the frost. This is culture, always realizing. But here I saw this quarry, being very naughty, I said, hang on, we could build a cellar underground and we could feed our grapes from the top into the cellar, because the less you go and manipulate these grapes, pips and grape skins bring harshness into the wine, whether you like it or not. And then you can take the harshness out of gelatin.
So you don't want the friction, you want it to flow naturally and not be forced in a direction.
Out of a ton of grapes, you, for quality wine, 500 to 600 liters per ton are quality. Otherwise, your finales, it's like biting into an apple.
Yes.
You look at that apple and it slowly turns brown. And an avocado as well, it's called oxidation. Now, we don't have to go all suntapping about it. But you want to regain that juice without it oxidizing. And then the fermentation is very reductive. It actually takes the sugar and ferments it out into alcohol and CO2. And then you have got to, it's like, yeah, once again, it's like the apple. You take it through, and sulfur is something on its own, it's a disaster. But if you use as little of it as possible, it actually protects the bouquet and the wine.
Yes.
And it is free and total as it do, but SO2 also, as you drink the wine, your stomach is full of acidity to digest food.
Yes.
All that SO2
fits beautifully together.
Given off, so then your stomach and your body is actually inundated with this SO2 if the SO2 is too high.
Okay.
So Carl Werner taught us how, with analysis, you mustn't come to me and say, I don't need to know the analysis. And in actual fact, he had little Katzenberg with all the analysis. When he tasted his wine, he didn't do it according to the analysis, but he knew how he could protect that wine and take it into the marketplace.
Yeah.
And the wines with more tannin or too much acidity, he used to keep a little bit of that residual sugar into the wine, because it's like a girl wearing a bit of makeup, you know, and it's the attraction that comes. So it was my mother's brewing background. It was my father's military regime going back to the, he's my great grandfather used to do a handstand and walk on the table and salute the Kaiser. But I mean, I'm not a big one for this nobility and stuff, but
you are nobility, as I mentioned earlier, the blue blood,
and good looking. So. Now that's it all helps. But we have had so much fun. And it's never trying to be funny. It's the situation just creates an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I, if I can sort of pat myself on the shoulder for any opportunity I love, like the grapes with Hermann and Boschendahl,
yes.
or Cabrera and Underground Cellar, I was always attracted to,
yes.
to this opportunity.
You are going to sabrage for us, of course, today,
now,
a bit later,
not
or not?
I'm going to sabrage with you.
Well, you know, okay, well, holding thumbs, holding thumbs. But really, but the concept of the sabrage, you are also...
I introduced this.
Exactly, yeah, that now, linked to you like no other person.
I did sabrage at a party in Franschhoek. Sue was the one of the hostesses, and I hit the bottle three times or four times, and then I got the wine and the cork and everything spread in. And just a coincidence or opportunity, Graham de Villiers and I were in London trying to sell our wine. And we went to visit the wine, a London wine show, and it was totally by coincidence that we walked into this huge area in the champagne section.
Yes.
Not that we went there purposely. And there was a young girl, an attractive young girl, doing sabraging one bottle at the time. And I said, you know, I've done it in South Africa. And she said, the first thing I want to teach you, young man, it's not a party trick.
Yes.
I looked at surprise.
Yeah.
She said, the French cavalry officers were offered a bottle of champagne before they mounted their steed. And they didn't, you know, they could not get the cork out of the bottle because in those days the champagne corks weren't waxed. So they took their saber and removed the top of the bottle. Now, again, the opportunity was when a young girl looked particularly good, I went up to them and said, would you like to do sabrage with me? And they were, of course, rather surprised. And I then held their hand and we removed the top of the bottle traditionally. And then I used to knight them, you know, tapping them.
Oh,
and I'll do that with you today. You tap.
Being knighted today.
And in the Knight's Tale, Prince Edward, he said, I dub you.
Yes.
Now, this is a word that only is used when you knight somebody.
Yes.
And then I used to kiss them and say, this kiss you will remember for the rest of your life. I think they most probably forgot it that evening, but we had fun. Yeah. Then we gave them a little cork, and I'm sure we could do that here. We give you the cork on a little plastic stand.
Oh, that's
so you
wonderful.
Would, you know,
it's something to treasure
but you see,
in the future.
Yeah. If you go through life not respecting, it actually... Or not listening. It's so important to listen.
Yeah.
And we have, I formulated one thing that I run our business with: discussion,
yes.
decision,
yes.
action, and control. You take one of those four elements away, and you find you actually go around in circles, and you never get anywhere.
Yes.
But if you discuss something and somebody listens, you make a decision because. You know, some people can't make decisions. Oh, I'll try that, you know.
Yeah.
And then the action is very important. You actually do. And then if you've done anything, produce grapes, plant vines, you have to control.
Yes.
And that way Hermann is enormously good. He will say, a hectare of ground, I plant so many vines, I'm going to trellis it this way, we're going to irrigate or not irrigate. We're going to pick them at that. It costs me so much land owners. Do I get my return on capital?
Yes.
All these things. If you're running a business and you don't do that thing, and then you employ a cellar master who actually has respect.
Yes.
If he's going to march into that cellar and produce a wine of 14 and 15, which are wines that today Tim Atkins and those boys look out because they come flying out of the glass and they say, that must be the best.
Yeah.
But he's never drunk the wine. So that is the whole spectrum of this thing. Tasting a wine, all these things, pairing it off with food. The wine dances with the food.
Yes,
Not one competing against it.
Exactly.
It's so many, It's all based on respect.
So if we talk about the future, Achim, what do you see as the future of South African wine? And are there problems that you think that we're experiencing at the moment that we need to work on? Do we need more synergy between the wine farms and the brands? For example, do people need to work together more? I hear that a lot, that, you know, sometimes there's a lot of cohesion, but sometimes not. So what is your view of the future?
Well, I think as the Dutch East Indies came, they saw the French getting involved here. There must be a strategy. And we've made tremendous steps forward in technology. And people thought, well, the guy here with his famous cellar makes good wine.
Yes.
But it's in the last time, like Donny de Witt producing wines, Batillon or Batelier, whatever, people are starting, and you can't blame the public to say, he's a winemaker, he won prizes, it must be the best, and wine of the month and all that. Yeah. But it's the guys that actually, like wines produced in Elgin or Himmel and Ardo, or the lot of packages that are coming, and the personality of is on its own, isn't it? But the personality that goes right back to the soil, those are the breakthroughs. Now, if you say what's the future of South Africa, I think you should be exporting about 10, 20, up to 30, might be, some people even export 50% of their crop.
Wine, yeah.
And they're up against a tremendous competition at the top.
Yes.
At the bottom, we can produce wine of a very high standard, yes, at a much more reasonable price.
Yes.
And you can see some of the vineyards aren't replanted because big American companies, people with lots of money, they go in there and they realize, you know, your vineyard takes 7 years to really come into production. How are you going to get that money back? So
yeah,
if it's not looked at realistically and economically,
yes,
and then to have a personality who can take it into the marketplace, like, yeah, myself, like Günter Brösel and all these things, because they understood all this thing.
Yes.
But then behind this person, a wine must tell a story.
Yeah.
If the wine, no matter what category it's in, a wine like Blanc de Noir or Chardonnay is telling a story. People want, you know, if you meet somebody and they talk nonsense, or shout, some people talk, I meet so many people, you don't get a word in, but they're telling you,
yeah,
no, that's what I'm doing at
no,
the moment.
But you're talk about to, themselves. You're supposed to be talking about yourself. No
but
worries.
It's so boring in there, because in actual fact, they want to be patted on the shoulder. But we have got such potential in South Africa.
Yes.
The different wine regions, like we went up the West Coast region, actually with Hammond, and the beauty, but they were smaller states with, you know, supply and demand, and their wines are funny. And then Ibn Sadi, I think it is, he serves or shows his red wines first, which I didn't particularly enjoy. They were too bulky, tannic. And then he served his white one.
Yeah.
And his white wines, they produce it out of Sinso, out of cultivars that we don't use anymore. But
yeah,
they produce such wonderful wines, and people that are totally committed,
yes,
dedicated.
Yes.
Not doing this as a job or as just a finance, but actually doing things, committing their lives to producing.
Yes.
Exciting.
Yeah.
And I think we are, I think, very strong in comparison. Some wines are even exported in tanks and then bottled over there.
Yes.
So we have to find a way to utilize our potential.
Yeah.
And I think we stand a very good chance. We have got now Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, lots of quality cultivars. And yeah, I think we have a great potential, and we have great people.
Yes, yeah.
We've got people like Charles Back, you know, we've got Himmel and other great guys, Kevin Arnold, I must have already got the names wrong, but and you've no, got you've the Paul Kluver in Elgin.
Yeah.
These personalities are Giles Webb of Telema, and there are lots of, and they're all naughty. They're all fun. They all want to. They don't want to be famous. They became famous because people just. But if people have got a story, I met Charles Back, who produces a wonderful cheese, and you don't enjoy his company and his wines. It's always a synergy. It's always. It's never one element on its own. It doesn't work. It's, but you've got to be able to introduce your wine.
Yes.
And the wine's got to tell a story that originates in the vineyard.
Wonderful.
And I've talked far too much, but that's what I'm not being paid for.
No, what it's you beautiful. Want. I want people to feel comfortable to talk about their life the way they choose. Mm. The idea is to learn about you, your life, what drove you, and this amazing legacy that you've created in terms of wine.
I don't want to end up like a statue, I promise.
I understand, but well, we will always be drinking the wine, so that's, I think, what it comes down to. But we apparently we're going to go Sabraj.
Yeah.
I'm a bit nervous. But before we go, Wineland Media supports this project as well. They are 90 years old this year. Do you have a message for a birthday message for Wineland Media?
In vino veritas, I think there's well done. We're trying our best. So I think once again, the media can't do with us, and we can't do without the media. Yes. We'd like to be Tom, Dick, and Harry, but have people that love wine. We've got a guy in Durban called Dieter Zettler. I mean, Zettler. And he loves wine to such an extent, he phones me the whole time he's heard something or read something. But he's now retired, and he's still not tired about drinking wine.
Yeah,
he always picks up things all over the place, and I must say he entertains me.
Wonderful.
So media is there because it also introduces wine. That's a good word. Introduces wine and the excitement of wine to a much larger.
To people,
because South Africa used to be brandy and coke because they didn't weren't quality wines. So people drank brandy and coke like in the Karoo. I can tell you a story there that's frightening. But you're running out.
It's fine. Yeah,
but we went to the Karoo.
Yes.
And was one of the girls actually worked here. And Francine, who is enormously beautiful.
Yeah.
And we gave some wine. And I've been in the industry now for 50 years. But we went up to, and the glass of wine there, of our own wine, we had to pay 20 rand a glass, which was a bit of a ripoff. In any case, I went there and we had a glass of red wine because it was getting a bit chilly.
Yes.
And we went again for the second glass now. Red wine or Pinot Noir is usually served in a burgundy glass, whereas the Cabernet Sauvignon is served in bottled in a Bordeaux glass.
Yes.
Bottle. So I went there for the first glass, and the second round of glasses, about four glasses, they poured the last out of the burgundy. Ah, we've run out of this wine. And he just topped the glasses up with this other Bordeaux.
Yeah.
I said, hang on, that's a different wine. He said, they won't taste the difference. And now, in 50 years, I'd never seen some bomb and blend of wine in front of me. So, it was in the Karoo.
Yes.
The lamb was spoilt because they drank brandy and coke. But the lovely thing was there was a lady sitting at the table, and she was as white and as chalk. I mean, you couldn't get any whiter. And I went up to her and I said, Willie Glasie van her, me ek drankie. So I was, but her friend said, ja, ek sal in the fat.
So,
but I convinced this lady that didn't drink, and she was about 50, 60, 70, she was getting on in age. I convinced her to drink a glass of wine. And this chalk white face slowly started to light up. pinkish sort of color, and she started to chat, and I said, I just hope she's not going to ask me to die.
You fixed her.
We fixed her. But it's a lovely story because it was a different environment, and we were able to convince them that that was something special.
Oh, left. Yes, I'm right-handed. Yes.
Okay.
Yours is nice and heavy.
Okay, now we'll keep the cork on just until...
Okay.
Now, what you're trying to do, that we're trying to hit there.
Yes.
So we go one, two, and then we take it
off. Okay, but you're going to do it with me.
Yeah. And the other thing this French lady taught me, just feel that...
Yes. There's a ridge.
That's a seam.
Yes.
Now, the seam of the bottle, you...
Go straight on the seam of the bottle.
Okay, so you hold the bottle there. No, hit your own sobby dungus.
Okay. Op. That's right. Op, you see.
One, two.
Ooh, yay!
Now you've got to hold
this. That's so cool.
Now don't touch the top of the bottle because it's razor sharp.
Yes.
I've got 6 stitches in my thumb.
Oh, my word.
I said, oh, that's a clean cut. Okay,
this
now
is just
play a glass for the champagne glass.
That's right. Ach, danke.
Oh, yes.
And we can celebrate.
And you would know. Dit opneem. Van COVID kan ek gaan net op die kop. Okay, kry 'n glas.
Dis hy gesond.
Ja man, sweetie, a big smile.
Gesondheid julle. Baie dankie.
Op pleasure dan.
In samewerking met Wineland Media, deel van die Winpro familie wat hierdie jaar ook hulle 90ste verjaarsdag vier.